A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
This episode is sponsored by R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice, a welcome addition to anyone's sleep routine. Pace Case, if you know me, and you do, you know that I'm working all hours of the day, all hours of the night. So the sleep that I do get has to be very good sleep, and I'm always looking for ways to up my sleep routine. Sometimes I'll read a book to go to sleep. Sometimes
The Bachelor.
That book keeps me very awake. It's very engaging. That never puts me to sleep. I will sometimes just put down my cell phone after a long day of looking at a screen. It's nice to get some time away from the screen. I also will incorporate some R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice. It truly makes you go to sleep a little easier. It's the thing you need to help you drift off into the dreamland.
As more and more people are looking to prioritize sleep, Organic Just Tart Cherry is having a moment thanks to Tart Cherry's potential sleep-related benefits and potential to aid in muscle recovery when you get those gains like clues. We're seeing this in the viral Sleepy Girl Mocktail trend on social media. R.W. Knudsen has a whole lineup of natural juices with zero added sugar, so you can feel good about adding them to your wellness routine. It's all about celebrating those daily wins. Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice is made from tart cherries, which may help you get a better night's sleep because they have natural melatonin.
R.W. Knudsen crushes only 100% real ingredients, so you can crush everything you do. Pick up a bottle at your local grocery store today.
It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses.
This is moments after Avon and Rachel broke up, and she's smiling. Moments after she, you know, essentially accused Avon of leading her on because he wanted to talk through, you know, getting engaged and owned up to the fact that, like, emotionally, like, he wasn't entirely sure if he was there yet, but wanted to be with her. And she was just, like, not having it and decided to end it. And I recognize this look.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
Shit. This is just Bachelor clues.
Thought I'd bring a little, add a little sauce to my opening. Try something new. Ward off dementia.
I hope it works. I hope your strategies work. And speaking of sauce, right now, official Sauce Wars merchandise is available at gameofroses.co, designed by the brilliant Ella Tolkien. You can pick from 5 different colors of this shirt and proudly represent which side of the Sauce Wars you're on. And make no mistake, those Sauce Wars are heating up. There's never a chance for them to slow down at this point.
Sauce Wars are in each one of our segments today.
It's everywhere. And we are going to have an absolutely insane digging deeper in our Patreon on Monday. The stuff Nick Vial is doing, I don't even know how to describe it. He's just like attacking people. He's attacking the leads now in TikTok videos.
It's giving clown behavior.
It always gives clown behavior when it's coming from the great one. But rest assured, this Monday, you're not going to want to miss this digging deeper. I don't even know how we're going to pack everything in. But
what's going on with him? Is he spiraling? Is this a Vial spiral?
I mean, we'll get to it. But did you see the pictures of him at New York Fashion Week?
No.
All right. Well, you should look up those pictures. I'm going to discuss them a little bit in one of the new segments.
But those shirts are in cream, dark heather gray, black, neon heather green, and white. If you wanted a color.
I like the intensity.
Breakdown.
Yeah. Okay. So this is This Week in Bachelor Nation. We're going to give you all of that Bachelor Nation news, all those tids that are fit to print. We got some screams from the pit coming up in the end, of course. We got gains. We got the parasocial plays of the week, parasocial creatures of the week. We got it all.
Dwob.
Blob?
Dwob.
Oh, we got the Dwob. I was like, who's Blob? I thought that was somebody's pet, like a pet dog or something that was super cute named Blob. That would be great.
It's Blob Guinea. My new dog's name.
All right. Well, before we get to any of that, we're going to open this show, as we open many shows, with a segment we call
Game of Roses. State of the game.
The current state of the game, as you are probably all aware, is that information has been leaked and now reported through various sources after Reality Steve broke it, who the next lead is going to be, who is the Bachelor for season 27. And all the information that's coming out points to one Zachary Shallcross, the player who was just eliminated in third place from Rachel Recchia's group of winner's circle guys. So where does this leave us? Anytime a new lead is announced, bachelor or bachelorette or dual bachelorettes or whatever, it shifts the game. This is a new tone. Mm-hmm. This is where they want the franchise to be headed. This is going to be the face of it for at least the next iteration. And they've chosen Zach Shallcross, a player from this, in my opinion, horribly constructed season that gave us no time to get to know any of the players or the leads. We don't have a good sense of who Shallcross is, nor did he make a strong impact on the game, I feel like, despite playing a very interesting season.
I mean, barely anyone had an impact on the game this season. The gains were pitiful. I don't know if we've ever seen someone get chosen from the previous season for Bachelor who has 35K on Instagram.
It's almost as if they don't care, and yet I think, I can't say more, but I think season 27, despite this, despite the Shallcross factor, will be a very good season. But I do think this about Shallcross. If he would have been in a regular season with one lead and we would have gotten to see more screen time with him, I think we would be feeling differently, because he did play a very effective full 4TRR regular season, and then he pulled the Shallcross 180 in the fantasy suites right at the fucking crucial moment. You want to go out in third place to have the best statistical likelihood of being the crown. And here he's done it.
Look, I think there's some, a lot of people are mad. A lot of people are mad. I'm seeing Dark Seeker out there. She's making angry TikTok. I just want to remind everyone that have we felt mad about the Bachelor posting before? Yes. No one was excited about Ari. No one was excited about Peter Weber. But out of those seasons, we got huge players. We got Becca Martinez. We got Becca Kufrin from Ari's season. From Peter's, we got probably our first player billionaire, Madison Pruitt, and the perfect night one player, Hannah Ann Sluss.
Yes. And
it doesn't really matter who the Bachelor is in those cases.
Totally. I completely agree. And that's good, because if you go on Zach Shallcross's LinkedIn page, you're going to be able to read this verbatim. Senior cloud technology sales executive at Oracle. My role consists of strategically helping businesses in Houston enhance, extend, and leverage their current software platform and infrastructure while educating them on what Oracle's portfolio has to offer. That does not scream interesting man to me. That does not scream catch. That does not scream 30 women should be clamoring to make this man their husband. And I do think that is a difference from the old school game to what we have now. In the prior eras, the Bachelors were seen as catches, at least in the first few iterations. You know, they came from extreme wealth. They were professional athletes.
Education. Jesse Palmer was an NFL player. We got the real millionaire with Andrew Firestone. We got, you know, Sean Lowe, America's golden boy.
Plenty of people like that.
And now,
now we've got this guy. We've got Zach Shallcross.
Very 4TRR. To me, it's such a similar pick to Clayton. Someone we don't know that much about who's just playing kind of a 4TRR wholesome game.
Yes. I mean, at least this guy made it to Fantasy Suites, but in a season that is presented in halves, it doesn't matter. He might as well have been washed out. Like, that's the equivalent of going out in maybe a third or fourth episode in a regular season, in my opinion.
It's hard to compare at this point. The numbers are dwindling, but the numbers are dwindling everywhere. Except, you know, I just checked out the Love Island winners Instagram. My girl Ekansu has 3.1 million Instagram followers.
Yeah, it's a better presentation.
It's still possible.
It's absolutely still possible. You know, when we see the Instagram numbers going down for our beloved game, I've been looking at this too. Other reality shows are not going down. Instagram is still a very powerful social media platform for influencers to get brand deals, SponCon, all this stuff. It's just that the way the current tier Bachelor producers is presenting this game, it doesn't make people want to engage. And so you've now got this guy who, how many followers did you say he has? 30-something thousand?
35K.
And you're hoping who's going to tune into that? Those 35,000 people? If you don't give the players a chance to become celebrities within the culture of the game...
He's not even in the top five from this season.
Yeah, I mean, and that speaks to their like inability to really choose a good lead, I think, anymore.
Yeah.
And what comes with that, too, is the idea that in the past, leads were confident. It was like, I'm going to go into this situation, and these 30 people are going to be vying for me. I'm a catch. That feeling is gone now because the producers just fucking destroy the lead as soon as they step onto the stage.
Have you been on Rachel Recchia's Instagram?
No.
The comments are so hateful in her latest post.
Comments to her?
The villainette is working.
Just from randoms, from fourth audience members.
Yeah.
Damn.
From Bachelor Nation.
And that's how they build up the leads now to be these kind of punching bags for the fourth audience. And it's like, well, why is that good? They have the priorities of what this show is all fucked up. I think the current producer tier doesn't understand this show at all. They seem to think that it's about trying to make people, you know, collapse into fucking emotional breakdowns as often as possible, especially the leads.
Cry squat.
It seems like they go after the leads more than they even do the players anymore. And that's not what the show really has ever been. You want the lead to be your main character. It's the person you identify with. It's the person you want things to work out for because you're on that ride with them. Now, it never works out for them, largely because the producers force that to be the case. They don't. The producers think that in the end, the lead should not have things work out. And in this case, they're casting a person who we don't care if it works out for him or not. We're already not invested in this person's journey merely by a poor casting choice. And I just don't, the thing that is weird to me, I guess, about it, the weirdest thing is like, where is Mike Fleiss in this? Where is Rob Mills in this? Where are the people who have been there since the fucking beginning guiding the ship? It seems like they either don't give a fuck anymore or they're completely out of touch with it. Or I don't really understand how these choices are being made. Like how it's even possible to make the choice of Zach Shawcross for Bachelor at this point is insane to me.
The problem, I mean, the reason that you want the lead to be this, you know, Tyler Cameron, this Peter Krause, whoever, you want it to be someone that people are going to compete over because otherwise I think it makes the game even more 4TWR because people aren't competing over it. They're just competing for followers and paradise because they don't give a shit about the first audience. If that person's an actual prize, you're going to have people compete harder. And you're going to have a better casting pool. You're not going to be getting the dregs. You're going to be getting top tier people.
Well, I will say season 27 is going to have some top tier people.
Well, of course.
Rest assured.
Look, I can't wait. I can't wait for it.
In some ways, I feel very sorry for Zach Shawcross. He don't know what he's about to walk into. He's going to get spun sideways so many fucking times. I can't wait to watch this season. I cannot fucking wait. Everything that we're saying about the lead, poor choice, all this shit, let it be known that season 27, I just can't wait for it. This is the most excited I've ever been about a Bachelor season, ever in my life.
I'm so happy for you.
For various reasons. Thank you.
I mean, I'm looking back at Zach's play. He obviously was someone that they were thinking about this
4, he got the Pretty Woman celeb early one-on-one. He played his PTC about health and self-esteem issues. He was love leveling every chance he got. He's doing a bunch of hoodoos. I mean, he definitely left it all in the field. And I wonder maybe if they were thinking of Nate Mitchell before that all happened, because he also got a ton of screen time.
That's possible. It could have been him. But I mean, you're now run into this problem where Shawcross is young. So we already know that's going to be baked in. Any player who's over 26 years old is going to be labeled a cougar. And will that factor in? And
100% they're going to focus on age. They've already brought it up.
Yeah. There's all this stuff that makes him already not a person who can believably be 4TRR, in my opinion. And so it undercuts the conceit of the game. The very foundation of what we're all watching is now kind of like thrown out the window.
Have we had a 25-year-old bachelor?
I think so. Wasn't it Pilot Pete was 26? I think he's 26 now, Shawcross. 25, 26. I don't know. I think Pilot Pete was that age. I want to say Colton was that age. Or maybe even younger. I don't know. This is all conjecture. Easily look upable. I'm just not going to do it. But ultimately, I think like it's a bad choice for The Bachelor. Would have been much better to go with a Peter Krause, a Tyler Cameron, anybody who generates interest in the audience, in the fourth audience.
Colton was 26.
Oh, I was right. There you go. How old was Pilot Pete? He had to have been 26 too.
He was 28.
Oh, an old man. But now we have Shawcross seemingly in the driver's seat. We assume if all of this reporting is accurate, he's going to be announced this following week, Tuesday, at the final, after the final rose. And I'm curious to see how they'll intro him. Will they make him read shitty tweets about himself like they did with Clayton? Or will they try to put this guy on a pedestal? Will they at least do that correctly? Set him up for success, even though he's kind of a boring guy and no one gives a shit. Will they at least try to promote him in a traditional way?
I hope. I hope that they don't ever do the mean tweets thing to their lead ever again. That was such a bad idea.
I agree. But I will give you this advice, Zachary Shawcross. Be careful.
Oh man, can't wait for his season.
Me either. But that is the state of the game. We have a new bachelor, it seems like, and he is a senior cloud technology sales executive at Oracle. Very exciting stuff. And we're going to see what happens in season 27, but more in the near future, we're going to see what happens at this after the final rose with what we assume will be his introduction to the fourth audience officially.
Yeah, that'll be the announcement, right? Theoretically. Also, our lives are going to change from some sort of audience participation.
Yeah, the Bachelor Fantasy League app. It will not change my life, but I hope it changes everyone else's for the better. And that is the state of the world. Now we're going to move on to that portion of our program where we talk about all of the movements in the numbers of various aspects of our beloved game. This is
This Week in
Games.
We begin our Gains segment, as we begin it every week, by discussing the ratings of our beloved game. Despite airing on a Tuesday this week, the first installment of the season finale and after the final rose for Windekia managed to pull in the highest rating of the season with a 0.89, which was up about 25% from last week's second half of Fantasy Suites on Tuesday. And the episode also saw growth in overall viewers with another season high at 3.54 million. The Bachelorettes was the highest rated network show in the Tuesday 8 p.m. time slot, even beating out a new episode of America's Got Talent on NBC, FBI on CBS, Academy of Country Music Honors on Fox, and a new series we're keeping an eye on over at the CW about the life and times of Leonardo da Vinci. It's called Leonardo, and it pulled in a 0.1 with 390,000 overall viewers. Good job, Leonardo.
But is it better than Roswell, New Mexico?
I have never seen either of these shows, and I probably will never see either of these shows.
Good job, The Bachelorettes. And now for the horse race, the Gabby, Wendy, Rachel Recchia race to 1 million Instagram followers. Some might call this horse race the Blanco race. The lovable dingbat, Gabby Wendy, continued to dominate this week with her lead extending, gaining over 4 times the rate of Recchia, gaining 39K, bring her to 792K total this week. Rachel Recchia picked up 9K, bringing her to 468K total. So this is a 330K difference between them. Doesn't seem like that gap will be closed.
Oh, absolutely not. And I mean, Gabby Windy's about to go on Dancing with the Stars, and I think this will actually be very interesting. This is going to be the first season for Dancing with the Stars that's not on ABC. It's on Disney Plus. So I'm curious to see how that will affect Instagram gain. I don't know that it will. Honestly, like, I think it'll be roughly the same amount of viewers.
Caitlin Bristow didn't pick up that many followers from Dancing with the Stars. However, she wasn't the most recent Bachelorette. So I think there were a bunch of other factors. So, but we will keep an eye on that. Wendy also continued closing the gap in the TikTok race, putting on 21.2K the past couple weeks, bringing her to 86.2K total. Recchia gained 9.8K, bringing her to 88K total. So Wendy is right on her heels, about to close that gap on TikTok. Dark Lord Palmer gained 6K the past 2 weeks. He's at 181K right now.
Slow and steady for the Dark Lord. Now let's move on to the top five Instagram gains chart for the players of Bachelorette Season 19. The gold medal in gains this week goes to Avin Jones. He gained 15.6K this week for his swan song exit bump, bringing him to 36.9K total followers. Ugh.
At least he doesn't have as few as the next Bachelor Zach Chalkos. The silver medal in gains goes to Eric Schwer. He gained 12.1K followers this week, despite all of his swirling controversies, making him the first player to join the 100K club, bringing him to 106K total.
The bronze medal in gains goes to your alleged next Bachelor, Zach Chalkos. He gained 7K this week, bringing him to 35K total.
Fourth place goes to Nate Mitchell. He gained 3.2K despite not being in the document for weeks, bringing him to 75.1K followers total.
And rounding out the top five, fifth place in gains goes to Jordan Vandergriff. Inexplicably, he gained 1.4K this week despite going out literally in week two, bringing him to 41.3K followers.
Maybe the bit promo?
But I mean, the fact that gaining 1.4K is even in the top fucking five of gains in the finals? We're in the end of the season. Yeah. How the fuck is this even possible?
Tino's the only one left. He's not even in this.
Yeah. Tino had a sub 1,000 gain this week? I think he gained like 900 followers or something.
900. He's at 38.8K.
I don't know what's going on, but let's move on to the top five total Instagram chart. Unchanged in 2 weeks. Eric Schwer is at the top, maintaining that lead with 106K total.
Nate Mitchell in second with 75.1K.
Tyler Norris at 42.9K is the third most highest Instagram follower total. Tyler fucking Norris.
Jordan Vandergriff is in fourth with 41.3K total. Week two guy.
Lucky for Tino, he rounds out the top five by bumping off night one guy Roby Sobieski with 38.8K.
Now for the top five TikTok chart. The largest gain this week was by Alec Garza, a week two guy who gained an astonishing 49.9K followers on TikTok the past couple of weeks. I think because of a parasocial play we will get to. The top five are Nate Mitchell, held onto first with 90.9K.
The aforementioned Alec Garza with 72.3K.
Matt LeBog has 17.7K.
Ethan Kang jumped to fourth place with 12.2K.
And Chris Austin, early season villain, is at 8.9K, rounding out the top five.
These numbers are abysmal. I mean, what else can you say? This is one of the worst social media seasons we've ever seen. And I don't think it's coincidental that it was because these guys had half the fucking screen time of a normal player pool.
They had half the screen time. A bunch of the top players don't even have TikToks. I'm wondering if maybe the rules are different for what place you get. The social media rules.
You mean if you ascend to like first, second, third, fourth, you can have a TikTok or something?
You can't make a TikTok or something. I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know either.
Just curious why they don't have one.
Yeah. Well, That rounds out all of our gains. Now we're going to move on to some of those tids.
This is Bachelor Nation News.
First up in Bachelor Nation News, we're talking about that lovable dingbat, Gabby Windy. She is set to pull even farther ahead of Rachel Recchia in the social media standings with the recent announcement that she will be competing in the upcoming Dancing with the Stars season 31. Windy joins a cast of celebrity dancers that includes the Real Housewives of New Jersey star Teresa Giudice,
Judice,
comedian Wayne Brady, actress Selma Blair, Arnold Schwarzenegger's son and fitness model Joseph Banna, Jersey Shore star Vinny Guadagnino, CODA star Daniel Durant, country singer Jesse James Decker, singer Jordan Sparks, TV actor Trevor Donovan, Charlie's Angel star Cheryl Ladd, Sex and the City star Jason Lewis, drag queen superstar Shangela, WABC TV New York weather anchor Sam Champion, and TikTok star, and this one blows my mind, Charli D'Amelio and her mom Heidi will also be on this series, who are, in my opinion, guaranteed winners. Everybody else should go home.
Yes. Why would they not have their biggest celeb win, who's so popular with Gen Z?
I think she's going to absolutely crush it. But this is something we have talked about on the show. Gabby Windy is given this gift. She is given this reward. Rachel Recchia is seemingly not. So even in the post-show handling, the post-season handling of promotion that ABC, Warner Brothers, NZK, Disney at this point is willing to give to one of the leads, but not the other, you see that there is favoritism. You see that the networks, the machines...
No, but they're not pitted against each other.
Yeah, they're definitely not pitted against each other. One is just going to be given a whole season's worth of screen time on another show. But
yeah,
they're equal. They're going through this journey together. Hold hands. Rachel Recchia will be forced to hold her hand as she walks out onto the dance floor every night. You just see it like plain as day here that they're favoring Gabby Windy. That this was never about two bachelorettes finding love for ABC or anything, nor is any of this ever about anything real. It's just money for them. And Gabby Windy is the more bankable star from the show at this point, so she gets Dancing with the Stars. And I know she's got a history of being a professional dancer and all this, so that makes her more eligible for the show or blah, 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 but that's not even what the show's about.
What does that matter? They have tons of people from Bachelor who are not dancers. Nick Viall, Sean Lowe.
Or tons of people from any arena of celebrity that aren't. They had fucking Sean Spicer on this show.
Teresa Giudice is not a professional dancer.
Exactly. So there is no excuse here except for the fact that obviously ABC sees her, Gabby Windy, I mean, as a more bankable star. Somebody who is, for them, more worth putting in another show. And this has been something we talked about since the very beginning. The comparison between these two leads is inherent. There's no way to not do it, especially when shit like this starts happening.
Well, in lighter news, up next in Bachelor Nation news, James McCoy Taylor has been arrested. The Bachelorette season 12 fifth place finisher was allegedly driving while intoxicated in College Station, Texas on Saturday, September 10th. According to reports, Taylor was also unlawfully carrying a weapon. Taylor was first approached by an officer when he was found urinating in a parking garage. The officer told Taylor not to drive his truck. He agreed, but was later arrested while still in the parking garage after getting in his truck and trying to drive away. Taylor slurred his speech and smelled of alcohol, had glassy eyes, and struggled to stand as he swayed back and forth, according to the police report. During the arrest, police said he became verbally abusive towards the officer, called him an idiot, among other things, and made threats to have the officer fired and would press charges. According to his arrest affidavit, officials also found an 18-year-old college freshman companion who he planned to drive back to her dorm room. Officials said the 18-year-old was impaired and was not in any kind of condition to appraise the benefits and risks of the situation she was in.
Taylor was arrested for driving while intoxicated and unlawfully carrying a weapon, which was a handgun, in his driver's door pocket. He was booked in Brazos County, where College Station is located. That's Texas A&M's city. And he was released on $6,000 bail later the same day. Taylor made headlines last year after he threatened to sue several media outlets that he claims falsely reported he was part of the January 6th Capitol riot.
Falsely reported?
Yeah, he was there.
Instagram storied himself on the way.
I know.
I saw it.
He was claiming the distinction between, yes, I was at the Trump rally, but no, I did not
go and Pelosi's office.
Commit an insurrection. Okay. Yeah, I was not part of the Pelosi's shit office thing. But there you have it.
Well,
James McCoy Taylor staying relevant in the nation in whatever way he can.
Very consistent. Consistently threatening people.
Speaking of riots like the one at January 6th, the nation itself was all over New York Fashion Week this week. The spring 2023 shows, presentations, and parties were dripping with representatives from the nation. Saks New York Fashion Week kickoff was graced by the second crown of Bachelorette Season 16, Tayshia Adams, Serena Pitt, and grocery store himself. The Harper's Bazaar Icons Party saw Adams once again, the great one Nick Viall, his girlfriend Natalie Joy, New York socialite Kit Keenan, and former White Lives Matter model Victoria Fuller. Chelsea Vaughn, Hannah Godwin, and Kaylin Miller Keys also joined the festivities. We love to see strong representation from within the nation at these high-profile events. Have we seen anybody at the Met Gala yet from within the nation? I don't think so. Who do you think is most likely to first do it?
We've done a Met Gala. I think we did a Met Gala State of the World, and I think we talked about this. My guess for first there would be between Rachel Lindsay and Madison Pruitt.
Yeah, Madison Pruitt, I think, is a strong contender to be at any of these things ever because she's got that money infusion now. But I think Tayshia, I think she could... She's like showing up at more of these things. And when you see the pictures, like go online and just look at these fucking pictures. Nick Viall is wearing like a ratty fucking t-shirt and a flannel. Tayshia Adams looks like a fucking supermodel in every picture she takes. She's not fucking around when she's going to these things. She's like, I know what this represents. I know what I need to do here. I need to basically establish myself as like, I'm not
queen of the health and wellness space.
That's right.
A healthy beauty wellness queen.
But I mean, she's definitely trying to, I think, elevate herself beyond her credential as like a bachelorette. She's hosting all these MTV things. She's in your face kind of constantly with this stuff and always just looking impeccable in how she dresses, how she's presenting herself. I think she's really trying to make a strong run for like legit celebrity. I could see her doing it.
I feel like for one of them to crack in, they need to infiltrate the A-list stars, you know, befriend a Kardashian or a TikTok.
Yeah.
Charlie D'Amelio.
Lovable dingbat.
You know what? If Gabby does that, okay, Gabby is up there. If she can befriend Charlie through this experience, I could see her going.
Yes. She should dynamic duo her and then move into her house.
Yes.
And just live with her.
Gabby, do this. We need it. The nation needs it.
Support for today's episode comes from OneSkin. If you have sensitive skin, you're going to want to hear about OneSkin's scientifically proven topical supplements. This is face, eye, body, shield, and it can all be used with any of their other products, which are free from over 1,500 chemicals and preservatives that can make skin red, irritated, or itchy. Their products are safe for sensitive skin. It's just one of the reasons they've earned the Skin Safe seal of approval.
You got to keep that skin glowing if you want to be keeping up the level of face play that I've got going on. And OneSkin was founded by an all-woman team of scientists. Their products are backed by extensive lab and clinical data to validate their efficacy and safety on all skin types. Their topical supplements are the easiest way to keep your skin healthy and hydrated without the harsh ingredients or irritation found in other skincare products often. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code ROSES at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co. with code ROSES. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support Gore and tell them that we sent you.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine. That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in.
Known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, Canopy is dermatologist recommended.
This unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water. Best of all, the Canopy-filtered showerhead is hassle-free, installation's a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement. Go to canopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy-filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, Gore listeners can use our code ROSES at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you. Clues. Underwear drawers, they're not organized. They're like the Wild West, the final frontier of wardrobes. And there's no rhyme or reason to them. You got ones that are super old, different brands, etc. You don't know what to expect. But now I have felt the buttery soft comfort of Me Undies. And now I want to replace the whole drawer with Me Undies because those are my now go-to. I'm currently wearing their long sleeve shirt and my, which is not what this ad is about. But I am also wearing the super soft, sustainable modal fabric thong with no rollback waistband. You want that. You don't want it to be rolling. You don't want it to be showing. And I'm hooked. I don't want to wear anything else. It's all got to go now.
Well, this ad actually is kind of about that, Pays Case. Everybody knows MeUndies makes great underwear. It's in the name, MeUndies. But it's not just about underwear. You can explore the lounge collection featuring comfy joggers, hoodies, onesies, and a whole bunch more. And their Move Me activewear collection is the softest activewear on the market. There's no doubt about it. Right now, you can get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/roses. That's MeUndies.com/roses for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies. Comfort from the outside in.
What the nation doesn't need, and perhaps the biggest story this week, the current last man standing, LMS. I didn't know what LMS meant.
Last man standing.
What is that?
It's like a PTC or whatever. It's a new thing for us. It's a new Gore term.
Oh, I thought it was a sports term. Okay, the LMS. Well, I mean, that's the final rose.
We'll see.
Okay. The LMS from Gabby Windy's winner circle, Eric Schwer, is now embroiled in two separate but possibly equally damaging scandals. The first scandal erupted when a high school yearbook photo from 2011 surfaced on Reddit depicting Schwer in blackface. Schwer issued an apology via Instagram that read, "I wholeheartedly apologize for the insensitive photo of me in blackface from my high school yearbook that has been circulating. What I thought at the time was a representation of my love for Jimi Hendrix was nothing but ignorance. I was naive to the hurtful implications of my actions to the Black community and those closest to me, and will forever regret my offensive and damaging behavior. I am deeply ashamed by my actions and understand that my apology is only the first step in taking accountability."
But seemingly before the nation had time to react to this apology, another scandal broke with accusations from an alleged ex-girlfriend that Schwer ended a serious relationship with her to become a player. At Bachelor Nation Scoop broke the story with a series of screenshots of private conversations between Schwer and a woman named Amanda, along with photos showing her with Schwer before his time in game.
Amanda claims to have been dating Schwer for a few months, and on March 10th, he told her he was offered the chance to be a contestant on season 19. He insisted it was all acting and it would be as if he was just going out of town for a few weeks, Amanda explained. He wanted a fresh start and a new career path because he was unhappy with his, she recalled. She detailed that she received 24 roses and a string of texts expressing his continued feelings for her. Please go to Bachelor Nation Scoop to see every shocking text message as well as a collage of photos of the happy couple together before Schwer entered the player pool. We have already speculated that Schwer will be made to answer for his blackface yearbook photo next Tuesday on After the Final Rose. Will this second scandal make its way into Dark Lord Palmer's line of questioning? Time will tell.
What do they do? What are they going to do about any of this? It's like too much. It's like two hot seats.
I think they focus on the blackface and just kind of be like, people won't, it won't reach the level because of that one?
Exactly. I don't know how you weight either one of these.
I can't see them addressing both.
I just don't know how you don't. I don't know how you sit up there and you say, this picture came out of you in blackface, answer for it. And he does basically the same apology that he put on Instagram, I assume. He'll just say that into the camera. Mm-hmm. And then you just ignore this. Also, there's all these pictures of you with the woman you dated right before you came in. There are screenshots of you saying, this is just a bullshit reality show and you're just going into adventure career. Like, it's so 4TWR. The blackface thing is like outside the realm of the game. That's just like a shitty, fucking horrible racist thing he did that, yes, he must answer for. This other thing, though, is like it's against the game. This is a 4TWR thing. This is not a bad thing about his personality. This is he came into the game for the wrong fucking reasons.
Which, unfortunately, Bachelor Nation sometimes cares about more than racism scandals.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. I think he's got to answer for both. I think they will try to do that. And I don't know what the fuck that looks like.
He put it in writing. Maybe he didn't think you would go that far, but...
Yeah. Nick Vial has the right idea here. You got to make a phone call.
Oh, my God. The Vial protocol. Don't put it in writing.
It's just insane to me that this is what happens. Like, and this should be a lesson for any incoming players. If you go into the show, you cannot go into it thinking like, well, we'll see what happens. And maybe there's some problematic shit in my past, but it won't come up. It's gonna come up.
They underestimate the sleuths.
Exactly. And it's like, maybe if you're a night one guy or something, fine. But you can't go into the game thinking that. You have to go in the game believing you're going to win the fucking game. And if you do win the game, everything's coming out. You can't, there's nothing that will remain uncovered in your entire life.
And we have a girlfriend coming out almost every season being like, hey, he broke up with me to go on the show.
Which, again, there's no fucking harm in that. The thing that is really, I think, for him, the thing that sinks the ship in this are those text messages where he's like, it's just a dumb reality show. Yeah, I'm going to fake it for my career. That's the 4TWR shit. You can break up. You can fucking get divorced the day you go in the show. Like, it doesn't matter. That's okay. Because you can always turn around and say, that relationship was, it was ended even before that. It just took me too long to pull the trigger on it, but I wanted out and I did want a change and I came into the show not knowing what to expect, and I met you, and I do love you. These feelings are real, and blah, blah, blah. You can always work that.
I think that's what he's going to say. I think he's going to be like, I thought I would just play the game, but then I actually developed real feelings. That's what I assume, if he does have to answer for that part, that he will do.
Yeah, that's his only play. That's the only thing he can do. And not walk out of there just fucking demolished. If I was him... I mean, I guess it's fucking too late because they've already shot this, but if he had any foreknowledge of this, I wouldn't have shown up because this is not going to be good, you know?
Wait, it's not going to be live?
I think they shot it last week. I think they shot it back to back. Did they not?
Oh.
Am I wrong? Maybe I'm wrong in that. I'm not sure.
Oh, I thought it was live. How would they announce The Bachelor and it wouldn't leak?
Yeah, you're right. Maybe it is live. So maybe he still does have the possibility to bail. Bail. If you're listening to this, Eric Swerve, bail. Get the fuck out of there. Get the fuck out. Save yourself. You got one chance. Run. Delete your Instagram. Delete your Twitter. Delete everything and start a new life. It is your best choice.
Just shave the mullet. No one will recognize you.
Exactly. Okay. And rounding out Bachelor Nation news this week, we do have some marriages and engagements to announce. Season 20 package deal player Amanda Stanton entered into a legally binding contract marriage with civilian Michael Fogle. Grant Kemp and civilian girlfriend Chloe Metcalf were engaged this week. And Hannah Brown's brother, Patrick, married Jed Wyatt's ex, Haley Stevens, in what is one of the most bizarre couplings from the peripheral nation that we've ever seen. And
speaking of exes, speaking out.
Yeah, exactly.
There's one.
And Hannah Brown was at the wedding. I don't know if any of you guys remember the everything that surrounded that entire relationship, but basically Jed Wyatt at the end of Hannah Brown's season 15 of The Bachelorette was accused of having dated someone right up until he went into the show and only going into the show to further his music career. That woman was Haley Stevens. Lyrics and Lipstick is her Instagram. Sorry, I know that off the top of my head.
I'm sorry you know that.
But it was rumored that he was then cheating on Hannah Brown with her and cheating on her with Hannah Brown. And it became very messy. But somehow, Hannah Brown's brother, Patrick, began then dating Jed Wyatt's ex. And they are now wed.
How does this happen? It's a beautiful, everything is connected.
All things are possible in our beloved nation. But congrats to all the members of our nation on these new tiers of their relationships now. Now let's move on to all the plays that our beloved players are making off the field and on the screens on their cellular telephones, primarily out there in the big wide metaverse. This is
the parasocial play of the week.
There were many strong parasocial plays this week, and even a couple highly unusual ones. First up, a couple pit posts. Michael Aulio, package deal player, posted a 3-slide post saying there's always light at the end of the tunnel. Game of Roses commented, not if you're in the pit, and he responded, the pit provides.
I mean, we don't need any more evidence that he is firmly in the bottom of the pit with us, digging around here.
Hello, Michael.
I love this. Love seeing this. Hello, Michael.
Happy birthday.
Hello.
Katie Thurston tagged Game of Roses in an Instagram story telling people not to ask her what a hoodoo is, but to ask us. Well, if you have come here straight from that Instagram story, here it is. A hoodoo is a shortened form of hug jump, a mandatory athletic display requiring a player to run toward the bachelor upon first seeing him at the beginning of a date, then jump and cling to him in a tight hug as he stands supporting the player's full body weight. Standard form involves wrapping both legs around the bachelor's torso, although there are many variations.
Where did you find this definition, Pace Case?
What do you mean? In our book.
Was it from the book, How to Win the Bachelor, written by Lizzie Pace and Chad Colchin, available in greater bookstores now? And the paperback's going to be coming out soon, too, early next year. So get ready for that.
Yes, we're going to have a new launch. Maybe we'll have to reprise our visit somewhere. I'm not going to put any receipts.
Our ban from the Grove, I'll put the receipt. Our ban.
Oh, God damn it.
Our ban from the Grove will be expiring in January. And I certainly will be stepping foot on that hallowed ground once again. But now let's move on. Chris Connern and Alana Milne celebrated their year anniversary of being kicked off the beach in a 3-slide Instagram post with how it started, how the show ended, and how it blossomed. Bachelor season 11 player and Labor of Love star Christy Katzman spilled the tea about what really happened behind the scenes of a reality TV show. Nate Mitchell posted a reel making light of the producers. Jason Alabaster posted his swan song to Gabby on his Instagram. And Avon Jones posted his 4TRR swan song to Rachel Recchia.
This week, a few players also contributed several comments to the Sauce Wars via a series of plays. You might have heard this TikTok at the top of our episode, but Nick Vial made this TikTok about Rachel Recchia smiling when dumping Avon, villainizing our lead farther. And Rachel Recchia commented, Avon and I had a nice moment at the door after something very difficult for both of us. I was trying to hold it together. Nick Vial responded, the people want you on the pod. We want to get to know the real you. It will be a great conversation and a chance to share your POV. Blake Baylock Eye Horseman then commented on a post saying, Pilot Rachel, do not go on this man's podcast. He talks shit on people that hopes they will have to come on his podcast to address it. Don't give him the satisfaction.
I can't love the rivalry, the animosity between Baylock High and the Great One anymore. But I agree with Baylock High in this. The Great One shit on Rachel Recchia in this TikTok and then asked her to come on his podcast in the very same TikTok in the comments of it. It's insane.
Yeah. It's very blatant.
I agree. But will it be a good strategy? Will she go on his podcast?
Look, I love this back and forth. We'll see.
We will indeed. Moving on, Alec Garza, a week 2 player, made a viral TikTok this week of his fitness transformation. The initial caption reads, give me 3 years. Then he cuts to a slow-mo of him today. The video has 5.3 million views and 892.5K likes.
Extraordinary. I was doing the numbers and I was like, wait, why did Alec Garza get this huge jump? And then I saw this video. I was like, oh.
He did it. He got some viral content. And the runner-up, Gabby Windy, made a TikTok with her catchphrase. In it, she runs from police with the caption, "When you hear other people say the word yeah to the sound of it's cool when they do it, it's a problem when I do it." The video has a whopping 2.2 million views and 164K likes.
It's almost Garza numbers. While it may not have gotten the reach of some of these strong plays, there was one series of plays that entertained us the most this week, which to our knowledge, we've never, ever seen before. Our parasocial play of the week goes to Joe Franco, Tino Franco's father. Following hometowns, Tino's dad released a lengthy list of opinions and clarifications via an app we usually do not include in parasocial plays, the Facebook.
This shit is so good. Oh.
In a since-deleted comment in July, he told his son not to sleep with anyone on the show. He also did a Facebook tell-all about his hometown date.
I don't know if I can get through this. Because, Mash, I mean, it's on fucking Facebook. It's just like, it can't be better. In quotes, because Bachelor Nation fans asked, here is my tell-all. One, I'm 5'6", and a gentleman. And a gentleman's 5'6" at that. I don't know what that means.
A gentleman's 5'6". What was that?
I don't know. Two, no, I have never dyed my hair. Look closely. You can see the gray. Three, no, I do not have a comb over, and it is not a rug either. Four, no, I am not the same age as Tina, as a few tweets suggest. Five, we are Mexican, not Italian, though media keeps saying Italian. If he really is Italian, it's news to me, and then I'd be asking really tough questions. Six, Tino's amazing. He supported our son's cancer recovery, volunteers to the cause to this day, and volunteers countless hours. Seven, Sandy is spelled S-A-N-D-I, not S-A-N-D-Y. Eight, there are no vampires in our family. What?
It's like all answer. It's like, I guess he got all these comments. Like, this is just an aggregate. They're not in any order. It's just like, Sandy's with a Y, not an I. No.
Yeah, he's answering every question. Somebody asked him if they had vampires in their family, and he's like, fuck it, I'll answer that. Nine, Sandy has more than one dress, seriously, and who notices that in a photo? And he added, finally, 10, I am too young and too tall to be a part of the Lollipop Guild and the Wizard of Oz, nor have I ever been aboard the Starship Enterprise, but I do share a Jewish heritage with Spock. And that was just the beginning of this. That we're not even through this.
So much. There's so much in there. It is so funny. Joe Franco also took to Facebook ahead of part one of the finale on Tuesday, September 13th, to throw some shade at the show. Quote, Bachelor Nation will be sorry when they won't have me to kick around anymore. Smiley face emoji. He wrote before referencing Rachel's father, and so will Sam Rubin at KTLA Channel 5. Big Tony, you'll have to wait your turn. Smiley face emoji. Who is this man that is he threatening?
Sam Rubin or Big Tony?
Who is Sam Rubin?
I think he must be like a local news guy who probably said something about The Bachelor, I'm sure.
I like that he's just addressing grievance after grievance here.
Love it.
He continued, watch The Bachelorette tonight at 8 for the parens yawn. Most shocking finale ever. Parens, just part one. So glad it's almost over. Hashtag Bachelor Nation. This series of posts shocked the nation and spoiled the season. Will they sue Tino's dad for $100K like Luke Parker?
I don't think they will. I don't think the parents signed the same kind of contract. I think it's probably just a like release to be on TV to use their likeness. So I don't think they're going to sue him. But this was the most fucking fascinating shit I have ever seen from a parent parasocially ever of all time.
Yeah.
No, we don't have any vampires in our family. This man said that. On Facebook. It's on Facebook.
Oh my God. It's like that congresswoman who was like, I'm not a witch.
Yeah.
Obviously, people are just accusing her of being a witch and feels the need to address it. It's so comprehensive. It covers a vast, vast swaths of information. And yeah, I always love when people other than Reality Steve spoil the season. I always think that's funny. Like that random mayor spoiling that Clayton was the bachelor.
Well, this was fantastic. Thank you, Tino's dad. And now we're going to move on.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
To the parasocial creature of the week. There were a bunch of good parasocial creatures this week. Dini Babies met a cute pup on his way to the Mount Everest base camp that ended up following him for 3 days on his trek and never left his side. A golden doodle named Winston collided with parasocial powerhouse Katie Thurston at Target. Katie reposted a pic of the two on her Instagram stories. Nate Olakoya, and of course his pup Percy, always in our parasocial creature content. They have a staring contest on Nate's page. But there was only one creature that can take home the award this week, and that was a canine named George. The Fogel Stanton family dog made an appearance in a wedding photo during the happy couple's big day. The photo was posted to Stanton's main grid, where it received 123,000 likes and 739 comments, including congratulatory sentiments from heavy hitters like Becca Tilly, Lauren Leyendijk, Joe Fletcher, Lauren Zima, Hannah Anslus, and a tidal wave of other players, including Jason Tardick, who mentioned George the dog specifically, saying, "Congrats, beautiful family, especially the perfectly combed pup." Congrats indeed, George Fogel Stanton, on this prestigious award. And now it is time to move on to that final portion of our program, in which Pace Case and I descend into an ever deepening pit. I didn't even think it was possible. I thought we had hit the bottom, the bedrock, but we just drilled through it this week, I feel like. And we're going to tell you about our screams. This is
Screams from the Pit!
You know, coming off of those strong creature plays, my scream also has to do with creatures. As you all know, I just started my second podcast, HBO Lax, regarding the HBO series House of the Dragon this season. And I have realized something in doing this, because gore is the only podcast I've been doing for so long. It is just how I speak on this podcast is how I speak in podcasting. That is my podcast persona. Uh-huh. And something that I have realized is that the language that we use has gotten so deep into my brain that when I am trying to branch out and, you know, have these separate awards, talk about this other show that's scripted, that's not even reality, I am watching it and every other second I'm like, creature, 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 when the dragons come on.
You're counting the fucking creatures in hot D?
I can't help it. And I have to like stop myself and be like, no. And then I'm like, wait, why am I even thinking that the word creature is like only something that is Game of Roses? Like that's a normal word. Yeah. But it has just taken on this meaning so hard to me that it is only creatures in The Bachelor.
Yep.
That I feel like I'm losing my mind a little bit. And that is my scream.
I feel like you're gaining a new mind, a better mind.
I love the clues 180s.
That's right. That's the Shawcross 180. My scream this week also involves some other television programs.
Ooh.
Two of them specifically that don't exist. My brain kind of has always worked like this, really. Like, I'll start thinking of stories or a character or something, and it'll spin out into my mind into a TV show or a movie or a book. And then generally I try to write those things and make money off of doing them. I now have two TV shows that are playing in my head that I'm never going to write, that are just in there for my own enjoyment, my own entertainment. And they've both come from The Bachelor. If you listened to our recaps this week, Pace Gaze and I started talking about how the little casting cards, when they come in and they say, tired of that friend with benefits who works in a comic book store, those little descriptors of the types of people that potential players might be dating now that they need to leave behind in favor of coming on the show.
Yeah.
Those descriptions.
Losers.
The losers, basically. They have started to spin out in my mind into cartoon characters that inhabit a small town called, in my mind, Conspiracy Town. And I can see like an Adult Swim style show called The Denizens of Conspiracy Town that have all of these various people described in the casting things. And I'm just like, why is this happening?
What is one of the characters?
Well, there's that guy who works in the comic book store. And the comic book store kind of it's a central feature of the town. It's like where everybody kind of hangs out, the watering hole. Then there's a couple of guys driving around in vans. There's a guy who won't feed this woman's cat. And so the woman is always fucking pissed off. And she's always walking around with bags of cat food. Like, my shitty fucking boyfriend won't feed my cat. So I've got to get this cat food. There's like a Target next door to the comic book store where they're...
She's always carrying a glass of wine.
Yeah, always carrying a glass of wine, just getting hammered and walking around with her cat food. Things of that nature. But I can see that. I see the visual style of it. I see it in my mind. And then the other show spawned out of something we were talking about Tino's dad and about Big Tony. That there could be a sitcom that the premise of which is a man and a woman meet on like a bachelor style reality show, any dating reality show, really. They fall in love, they get engaged.
It's like fan fiction if Rachel and Tino were to get engaged.
Basically, yes. And so the parents, the two sides of the parents, one parents, the like Big Tony style parents, the whoever plays that guy, I see it in my mind, it's Gandolfini, but he's obviously no longer with us.
AI.
Yeah, AI Gandolfini plays that dad.
He's in a pink collared shirt.
Always.
Every episode.
Pink collared shirt. Pink fucking full body jumpsuit. Every episode.
Yes.
But that dad and that mom are super supportive of the relationship. They're happy their little girl found her person. Then there's the Tino dad side, which they don't believe any of it. This is all bullshit. It's an act. This happened too fast. Fuck this. And those parents are trying to break up the relationship while Big Tony and his wife are trying to keep it together. And you have standard sitcom episodes where there's like a family barbecue and the two dads are going head to head.
Who plays Joe Franco at a gentlemanly 5'6"?
Steve Buscemi. And you have Steve Buscemi and AI Gandolfini in his pink jumpsuit are like not only fighting about their kids, but it's like, there's a scene where like they're grilling and it's Big Tony's house. It's AI Gandolfini's house. So he's out there doing the grilling. But Steve Buscemi comes by and is like, you know, you're doing the ribs wrong. And then they get in a fight over that, you know, that type of shit.
One of Steve Buscemi's kids is a vampire.
We throw in a little Addams Family style. But these shows are now just playing in my fucking head. And I'm like, I can't even help it. It's not like I'm attempting to think of episodes or scenarios. Mm. They're just in there now. And I see like these shows going on forever. I don't know that they'll ever end.
I don't think this is a scream. I think this is a beautiful, creative, guttural uttering.
A guttural uttering? That's, I mean, that's very close to a scream. I would say that's a scream. Okay.
Someone commented, they were like, my creature of the week was Clues' groans when you shared your Conspiracy Town theory.
My groans? I don't even remember
like,
my groans.
That could be it. Like, you were like getting on board with the conspiracy.
Okay. I'm always on board with a good conspiracy. But now, let's move on. Those are our screams. Now we're going to play another scream. This is a scream that comes to us via our Discord, which you can access if you sign up to be in the bottom of the pit at patreon.com/gameofroses. You will get on our Discord and you could submit a 1 minute or under audio clip and we play some of them here and analyze them. This one comes to us from Britt E. Connor. We're going to play it for you now And it also has an accompanying picture, which we will describe after we listen to it. Here we go.
Hi, Pitt. Mom from the Pitt here. I'm hiding outside right now to record this scream for my children. This week, my scream is, I used to be a hairstylist before I was a stay-at-home mom. And I gave my youngest son his first real haircut. He has dark, kind of curly, wavy hair. And after I was done, I looked at him and all I could think was, oh my God, I just made my child into grocery store. His haircut looks identical to grocery store Joe. And I can't stop unseeing it every time I look at my baby. That's my scream. Love you guys.
Oh my God. This is such a strong, strong scream.
Yeah.
I love, first off, when screams have to be hidden, either from coworkers or family. You have to go outside to record it. No one can hear what you're doing because there's so much shame associated with it.
And we have a picture of the young grocery store. And I have to say, I agree. That is a grocery store haircut.
I am so sorry, but you have given birth to a grocery store. This is a grocery store. I can see him with a jar.
This is a very high level scream when you're seeing players from our beloved game in the faces of the people you know. In this case, an innocent child who is also your child, not only just a person you know, this is your family. The closest people to you in your life, when they start to become players in the game to you, that is a deep level scream. When you yourself are responsible for making them look like those players, that is a much deeper level scream. That means the dark energy is flowing through your hands without you even knowing as you're performing the haircut. And then you open your eyes and, oh my God, somehow I've given my own child the grocery store.
I feel like if I had a child and this happened to me, I don't think I would be able to stop myself from making him do a grocery store tot, putting him in a little apron.
Yeah, giving him a small jar of sauce.
Giving him a little soup spoon. Yeah.
Well,
what does it taste like? Say it tastes like restaurant.
Yeah, those better be his first words. Tastes like restaurant. But thank you, Britt E. Connor, for sending in the scream. And again, if anyone else would love to send in their screams, just go to patreon.com/gameroses. Join us there. Get on that Discord. And fire off your scream into the darkness of the deepest parts of the pit. This shit is fucking hilarious. I'm sorry. This is one of my favorite screams that I've ever heard. Again, thank you, Britt E. Connor.
Yeah, it's very cute.
But that does it for today's show. Thank you for joining us. We will be back on Monday with a brand new Digging Deeper, which of course is going to have all the shit that Vial is saying right now and is going to have a wide variety of other sauces from other kitchens around the nation. So we hope you'll join us for that. And before we go, as always, what is that dwab at?
It has been 7,480 days without an Asian bachelor. Praise be, Dark Lord Palmer.
Please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us, and then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us, and then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us, and then please